live from Florida's capital city. This is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Everybody, this would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Great to be with you as always. A hearty Bowls McWednesday to you and yours. I'm Jeff. That is Director Matthew and Tom, both along for the ride as always on Twitter. It's at Jay Cameron Show. Great to be with you. And man, I feel like the buzz of yesterday is still here. It's still vibrant. Still feels good. Enjoying it. Loving the fact that Florida State gets the win yesterday in baseball on the same day that we were talking about spring football. And then later that night, Tom, I got to go home and watch Virginia lose. Isn't that wonderful? What a good night. By the way, screw Virginia eternally for setting basketball back forevermore. How pissed must they be at a guy who won a national championship? Now they're the laughingstock. First of all, they didn't deserve to be in the tournament by any objective measure. And then they scored 42 points. Get the hell up out of here. It's pathetic. I got a stat on that, by the way, involving him and his father, no matter how well-dressed Tony may be. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good. I was ready. I was quick on the trigger to answer that. I was surprised that you weren't mourning a little bit for how good UVA's head basketball coach looks, because the blinding beauty of the JPJ, the blinding beauty of that coach, you've always remarked that you were a fan. You were a fan. But,
oh, I was a fan of how sharply dressed he was, not style of basketball. God, I hate watching Virginia. Now the country hates watching Virginia, and luckily none of us will have to watch him again this year as they got blown the hell out.
So here's the thing. Here's the amount of time that I watched Virginia last night. It equals the amount of losses that FSU baseball has. Zero. Zero. No, thank you. Now, when we get to tomorrow, and by the time we sign on tomorrow, and there's a little bit of energy gone with that noon window, all right, I'm going to start to feel it. The first four is a heavy lift. Unless you're in a gambling setting, unless you've gone to Vegas, unless you've taken vacation.
Or you've bet on the games yourself with a bookie or the app.
Still, like, that feels like an effort. I'm going to go find some hockey right now. I would find the NBA before I would find the first four. No, thank you, sir. I'll watch spring training before I'll watch the first four.
I don't have a problem with what you're saying. The first four doesn't feel like the tournament, but I gambled on all the games, so I'm going to watch all. You don't have to just be isolated to one. You know, you got multiple TVs, you got the iPads, you got the laptops. You're all good. You can watch everything you want to watch. You can watch the best NBA game of the night. You can watch your Mets on spring training if you wanted to, just as I watch O'Neal Cruz just hit home run after home run after home run in spring training, all hit at about 125 miles per hour. I do that, and then I watch a little bit of basketball on the side. I start thinking about my bets for the golf. I do it all, buddy. This is what you do. This is what you do. Last night was I was in a good mood because we were at practice, and I had fun talking with you after practice, our post spring football report. And I still got home in time after a beautiful evening out there on the practice fields, and then Dick Houser, after Florida State found a way to win it 1-0. They've won every which way there is to win now. Tell you what, we talk a lot about how it's important that you run the bases well. It's important that you have good at-bats. It's important that you understand the game. It's important that you pick up the baseball and do all those things. Well, it's really important in one-run games, and that's especially true if it's a 1-0 game and there's a grand total of, what, 7 hits. So you better, for combined, you better do all the little things very well. You better find a way to make it happen. So, you know, they've won games this year where they've scored 19 runs. They've won games this year now where they've scored 1 run. So it's interesting. Some will be nervous as they head to Clemson now because they've had back-to-back-to-back games where the offense has not been lighting up the scoreboard.
I mean, that's going to happen from time to time. It is the sport of baseball. The thing I was impressed with the most is, you know, we were doing football coverage, so I had to go back and review what the hell happened, yeah, other than what you were giving me live on the air, which was great. That was if you want to go back to the live videos after the show's over, just watch the last 10 minutes of Jeff walking over to Hauser from outside of Doak Campbell Stadium to give updates as to what's happening on the fly.
That was fun.
It's pretty good television. But seven pitchers last night, and after the second inning, only two walks issued by Florida State pitching. That is incredibly impressive to me. One hit and two walks after the second inning last night to Stetson. So it's not only a game that there's seven combined hits, or, you know, it's a low total, it's a pitcher's duel. We didn't hurt ourselves. And it's seven different pitchers. The odds say that somebody is going to be awful on a given night. I mean, that's just the nature of the sport. But not last night. A lot of young arms came out through for Florida State. This wasn't one where they went for the gusto of having a guy who should be a Sunday starter pitching six or seven innings. They had a plan last night from the pitching staff's perspective, from Coach Posey's perspective. They've got to be thrilled with what they saw.
Well, I'm going to tell you that one of the things that I like is that I was talking about this with Aslan yesterday at football practice, and this is how abuzz we all are about baseball. We were talking about, I kind of like Link's style here, man. He's not afraid. You know, you're going to roll a freshman out there, and then you're going to pitch a bunch of other guys that haven't had much time, a lot of freshmen getting work. He's not playing to keep the streak alive. Like, in a weird way, fundamentally you are playing to keep the streak alive because you play every game to win the game. But there are things, there are actions you can take and coaching decisions that you can make that better secure the opportunity for that win than the ones that he took last night. So to me, you know, again, I feel like this is a guy who has a plan. He's going to stick to it as best he can, but he's also not so hell-bent on this one way of doing things that he can't alter it midstream. And we've watched that, like, it's funny. He'll put a guy in a position to prove that he can take another step. So when they work guys late, Tom, you and I have watched this all year long with their starters. We're so accustomed to coaches who, the second a starter runs into some trouble, has a tough inning, if it's anything beyond the fifth, they're getting pulled. It's like it's a world of bullpens in baseball anymore, right? He's not that way. If it's 4-1 Florida State and the one just came in the fifth after two walks and a base hit and another hard hit ball, but the starter got out of it and he's at 89 pitches, he'll roll him back out there. He'll roll him back out there. And that's proven to be not only smart, it's worked out in their favor. Guys have shown that they were mentally and physically tough and gone back out and had a good inning after something like that. But also the reverse is true. If I roll a young guy out there, and I know he's got good stuff, and I want to trust him, okay, let's see what happens. And then he goes out, and he throws four straight balls, and then the next guy hits a single, and then he throws two balls to the next batter. Dude, somebody's up. He's coming out. We're done here. I'm not going to sit here all day and let you figure it out. This has been a really nice balance, and I like the command of the team that he has.
I also like today, his midweek press conference. I know those things get buried, especially with all the football content we have. He had pro day interviews because there's dozens of, and it's almost true, there's at least a dozen Florida State players are going to be on campus for pro day. But there's so much content that you might not see Link Jarrett's press conference previewing the Clemson road trip,
which is a great series.
It is a great series. Depending upon if you're looking at Boyd's World, the official RPI, the ISR on Boyd's World versus RPI. And you're talking about a top five matchup here, a top five matchup between Clemson and Florida State. Link was kind of ornery. He was kind of ornery today, and I like it. I like it. He's always on to the next, and he's done that a couple of times this year. He says, I haven't even looked at it yet, which I don't buy that. I'm sure you have advanced scouted Link Jarrett. You're a very detail-oriented guy, but he knows that this is yet another test. Going out to Gainesville on a Tuesday and winning is not hard to do anymore. Everybody beats Florida on weekdays. Every single team in the country outside of Bethune-Cookman beats Florida on a weekday. But playing three nights in a row in this setting at Clemson, which has been consistently regarded as one of the most hostile places that we play any year, that is a different animal, especially with a group that has a little bit of a chip on its shoulder. You could see that the emotions turning negative if it isn't going the right way. Like, this is a big series to prove that they can take yet another step. And if they're competitive for all three games and they take one out of three, that's all right. If they take two out of three in this setting, though, I mean, you're talking about a team that now is legitimately probably a top five team overnight, which is wild.
The pseudo RPIs, by the way, which is what you can reference on Boyd's World, and they aren't the exact RPIs. There's lots of reasons that you can't really even know the exact RPIs right now, but they do adjust it and all of that. Florida State's the number one team in the country, according to the pseudo RPIs. Clemson's the number two team in the country, according to that same metric. So this is, in theory, by one way of looking at it, number one versus number two. And it does, again, I don't care. We like rankings next to teams' names because it gives us a gauge of the caliber of teams. We might not believe that somebody's number one or number nine or number 13, but we know that if it's anywhere near the ballpark of being accurate, what you have are two very competitive, highly thought of, having played good baseball teams meeting up, right? You know, I mean, it's like you can't get to that place by accident. You know, if you're 19-0, you're 19-0 for a reason. You're really good. That's what you are. What you want to quibble about whether that's the best team in the country or the seventh best team in the country, have at it. We know they're really good. And maybe Clemson's not the number two or the number one. Maybe they're the 10th or the 12th. Either way, it's a hell of a series in conference. We know that. And it's going to say, at least for now, at this juncture of the season, something about these two teams. It probably reveals another aspect. It could be really good, could be something bad, could be a blight, could be something that needs to be improved on. This is where you get tested, when you have like teams who are as deep and as athletic as the other, right? That's kind of what you want to see.
Well, and to your point, you guys are talking about it at practice yesterday, football practice. Football has begun, and everybody's fired up about that. And we know that that's the bread and the butter. But last night during the live chat where you're standing outside of Hauser, and we're going through players, sides of the football, newcomers, who impressed you, who stood out, who's hit the weight room, who looks good in the helmet. And the chat's going crazy with baseball updates. People are talking about, runner on second, one out, still no score. I mean, people are invested in Florida State baseball. I think they missed it. I think that's the simple way of putting it. Mm-hmm. We were so spoiled, and the conversation was so stale. It was, well, yeah, so what? They're going to win 40 games. Can they win it all? Like, unfortunately, when you achieve everything but the pinnacle of the sport, it's almost like these months of the season don't matter anymore. And I felt that way when we were talking about FSU baseball years ago, before it even started to get a little squirrely 5-6 years ago. I felt that way. It's like, this is just, it's the same four talking points for 3 months, but there's a newness here because we have been down and you are emerging. Also, it doesn't hurt that the product has a pitch clock like MLB does as well. So the games speed up a little bit. But people are invested in this in a way that I haven't seen probably since I was a student, and I'm happy for it. I'm happy for the program because there are a lot of people who go out to Hauser year after year these last five or six, and they haven't seen very much to be happy about. Now they do.
Answering the question, Ernie Sims is back on the staff. He is an off-the-field staff member. He is an analyst. I ran into Ernie yesterday. We gave each other huge hugs and had a long conversation. It's great to see Ernie. He had nothing but joy in his heart and a smile on his face. He asked about you, Tom. He asked about everybody. He wanted to know how everybody was doing. He was proudly wearing his Florida State gear. He was excited. He talked to me about Adam Fuller. He talked to me about the opportunity to come back home and to have a chance to be here. A lot of people have asked about it in the chat. I've seen it all over the boards. I know that Ira posted a picture yesterday of Ernie. And so
it's a wink, wink, nod, nod deal, I think, at this point. Like, I don't know that it's official. I got to protect us.
We're fine. I mean, Ernie's out there yesterday on the field. I mean, come on. Who are we kidding here? So, and he was seen by everybody. You're not going to be able to keep that under the wraps. Yes, the nature of the deal, the specifics of any kind of a contract or anything like that, I don't know. I don't presume to know. I just know what he told me, and he's happy to be working with Florida State. So it's exciting. And he was overjoyed to be in the house. I will tell you that. And I have had, over the years, Tom and I got to know Ernie exceptionally well. He did some work with us at ESPN when we were there at ESPN Radio. And you know, he's since gone down to South Florida. Then he was at USF, literally at USF most recently, Florida Atlantic before that. So he'd been a lot of different places, and Ernie is back in Tallahassee. So it was good to see him. Hey, listen, a lot of folks yesterday kind of milling about watching this Florida State football team for the same sort of reasons that we talk about with the baseball team, the buzz of speed and the influx of more of it. I think that was really readily apparent yesterday. It's one day. Now I'm eager to see everybody put on the pads and get after it because this team is not devoid of talent, And they got a lot of guys and a lot of suitors and a lot of places to get excited about. And that includes, Tom, a couple of guys that impressed me at linebacker yesterday, at least body type-wise. And then, you know, there were no false steps and drills. I saw a lot of things that kind of pumped me up a little bit about what's potentially there at linebacker. We'll see. You know, that's an area I'm always dubious of. Lord knows the speed at wide receiver and the battle between the secondary and the wide receiver is going to be an ongoing thing all spring, on into the fall. It's going to be intense. There are so many really talented young men out there competing for limited spots at wide receiver, at defensive back, at safety. There are so many guys that flash. That was the most intense part of the practice, as it makes sense that it would be. When you're not in pads, it's a little bit tougher to get excited about the trenches. You can look at body types. You can talk about what they are. But you can't know a lot until we really get into the hand-to-hand combat that pads bring with them. But you can still learn a lot when you're watching coverage drills and routes and passes and catches and deflections. You can learn a lot there.
Because those position groups are so deep and because they're probably going to be, what do you think, four or five players that are practicing right now for Florida State combined on both sides of the ball that might not be a part of fall camp, like the desperation is going to be there every day, whether they're in pads or not, whether it's a go for broke kind of day or they dial it back because, you know, there are certain parts of spring camp, just like fall camp, where maybe they go a little bit easy on the guys because they've been running them through a scrimmage or they're running them through full contact drills by today's definition as hard as they possibly can. You can't take a day off in that scenario. Mm-hmm. I think last year's group, and they were great at practice. Do not get me wrong. I'm not saying that they were complacent, but you knew that Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson were the guys. These guys are forging for themselves right now. Malik Benson is the leader in the clubhouse and Hakeem Williams has an inside track. And so does Destin Hill, but there are a lot of jobs on the line and we don't even know what the offense is going to look like formationally speaking. How many times out of 10 are we going to have three wide receivers on the field or four? How many times out of 10 are we going to have two running backs on the field or just the one? Like, it's going to be fascinating to see how they build the offense and how they construct it based upon DJ's strengths. Also tells you how many reps there are to be had for running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers. And then on the other side of the ball as well, you kind of know your base on defense and you could count how many guys are going to be out there at any given time based on down and distance. That is already set. But we don't know who those answers are, what the answers are going to be. Greedy Vance was a leader in the clubhouse for slot corner last year. Jerrion Jones was so good that he's going to end up getting drafted for playing that position. Well, is it Greedy's time now, or is Earl Little going to take that job? And if Earl takes it, where does Greedy go? And so forth, up to the safety position. It's going to be a battle every day. And that's what gets so exciting. And that's why, for me personally, 6 days when I get to see it with my own eyes, they're going to be in pads. And I can't wait to see how that practice goes.
Rick, I do love talking body type. I will address that in the Heisalinka chat, Heisalinka Law Firm chat, I should say. Football is about body type. You should listen to coaches at practices. It gets downright uncomfortable when they talk about body types. If you ask about a young player coming in, yeah, go check out his ass, Jeff. That's a thick one. You're like, okay, all right, so we're talking football here, right? Everybody talking football? It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you. You podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom. A salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town, you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you could get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road, and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV, also on, and, of course, podcast afterwards, wherever you get podcasts, and I don't know, we're on the social medias, we're everywhere, we're all over the place, and these days I get sick of myself popping up on things. It's just like, oh, look at that, there we are. Are we on the reels, Tom? We do the reels?
Yeah, I mean, we're speaking on the reel right now, brother. You and me, honesty. That's the number one thing. But yes, Instagram, sure. Yeah, Instagram reels, there are those two. Director Ben behind the scenes works on those.
He does a great job. I will tell you what's funny is my grandma is 97 years old. One of the greatest people I have ever known, certainly, and is as supportive as they come when it comes to the Jeff Cameron Show. But admittedly, at 97, I don't think she gets how the algorithms work. So she has hit on her phone the Jeff Cameron Show just to check in on me here and there because she wants to see her grandson doing his radio show, as she says. And then, of course, now her phone and the YouTube there, Tom, knows that she watches the Jeff Cameron Show. So every day it pops up on her phone, and she's like, he's everywhere. I can't believe it. Everywhere I look, it's my grandson. I'm like, well, that's design. They kind of got you. You're in your own silo. It's a Jeff Cameron Show silo. That's it. It's you there.
It's basically Minority Report without the holograms in front of your face. But that's kind of where we are at this point. Yeah, customized advertising. Yeah,
yeah, that's fine. That's fine. By the way, Melissa, you're spot on. There are some more robust asses over at Hauser these days, too. I love it, guys. What a good conversation on a Balls McWednesday. Huh? Let's go. Next thing you know, we'll start talking about how many dongs we're going to hit this year, and we're just free-flowing.
So I will say that a phrase, I like the amen there, Melissa, because my wife says whenever we go to Hauser, God bless baseball pants. That's like the number one thing. She always said, she goes, God bless baseball pants. And so I always laughed at that because I'm like, man, men always get the rap for being, you know, either chauvinistic or objectifying or whatever it is.
They're visual creatures, though, more than women typically. We like to look.
But then – When softball emerged out of nowhere, I decided, you know what? Allow me to retort.
Oh,
God bless softball fans. You know?
Oh, allow me to retort. I remember when the Bucks would wear the all whites and it would pour in Tampa, and I'd go, nope, not what we do, not what we do.
That's all we wear. We never wear the pewters, ever.
I don't understand why we don't wear the pewters. I love the pewters.
Sorry, not the reds, I'm sorry. But yeah, the pewters.
The pewter
as well.
And the red, yeah. We did in the Super Bowl, though, right? We were pewter and red.
The first one,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we were pewter and red, yeah. Dominated.
The second one that we won, the second Super Bowl that we were victorious in.
Yeah.
We had the white uniforms on, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I can never remember if it's that or the NFC Championship game or the two Super Bowl victories or which, you know, as you go through our history, which used to be checkered with losses and now is that of a elite franchise compared to many others around the league.
So, you know, like the Lightning, for example, has won the Stanley Cup in the black uniform.
They've won
the
them
white
in the blue.
And the blue.
And the blue, yeah.
Three different
the
colors.
The black uniforms, yeah, I remember that was the first one. Yeah, and then correct. The next two Stanley Cup championships that were won, two different uniforms, but more modern, but the last one being the blue, I think it was. Yeah,
That's correct.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
It's fun when we talk about winning championships like that and which uniform combo we were in. You know, traditional garb for Florida State in the last national championship victory against Auburn.
Yeah, so 93.
Yeah, I was there down in Miami.
It was white that night, right? I think. 99 and 13 are definitely garnet. Both of those are most certainly garnet. But I'm pretty sure that the Sports Illustrated cover I had on my wall growing up.
Well, it's the white top with the garnet numbers, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Because
I saw because that photo has Nebraska guys on the ground in red. So I think that's correct.
And the devastation of the missed field goal. And, yeah, I believe that's the one. We wore gold pants, white tops, garnet numbers. Isn't that right? With the gold outline? Yeah. Does that sound right?
I don't think the garnet pants weren't a thing in 93.
No, but I said gold pants. Gold pants.
Yeah, I'm saying, that's why I'm saying I agree.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't have gone out there in garnet pants now. You're right. Later on, Burt Reynolds gave us the all garnets, which burned. Which they did. The warehouse they were stored in is allegedly burned to the ground.
I really miss great moments in Seminole history with Burt Reynolds on Sunshine Network. That was tremendous television because Deckerhoff is asking Burt about a game in like 1982. And then Burt starts talking about his career off Broadway in London.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I was in London, but it was off Broadway. but it was in England, so it wasn't off Broadway, but it was the same thing. This is supposed to be about the 82 game against Miami.
I'll do this for everybody. I had the great pleasure, and everybody can, if you're a Knoll, this is very specific, obviously, so you'll be happy. I was walking into the Moore Athletic Center on Monday for the start of spring football and the coaches' luncheon, and I got there early because of construction, and it's crazy over there right now. I mean, you don't know where is it we're going to park. Does this work? Do I have a pass for sitting here? Am I in a construction zone? It's a mess. It's a mess over there, all right? So I wanted to get there very, very early, and I did. And as I came around the corner on a delightful day, this has been a perfect week in Tallahassee, I'm just enjoying the walk through campus, and I'm looking at the construction, and I'm kind of in awe of everything, and I turn to my right, and it's the great Gene Deckerhoff. And there he stands. He, too, is looking at all of the construction, and he's in awe. And so I said, there he is, the voice. And he turned and smiled and said, hey, Jeff, it's great to see you, and gave me a hug, and I gave him a hug, and we started talking and catching up. And we went through all of the times that we've walked out there together for practice or to a luncheon. And, you know, I've been doing this now for going on 27 years. It's crazy to think about. We were having a blast talking about you know, these last several years and sort of the different players to come through the program and how it relates to the changes at Doak Campbell Stadium. But Gene, just so everybody, the whole reason I bring this up, Gene is looking great. He's in tip-top shape, and he was sharp as a tack and pumped about the upcoming football season. And even though he's not doing play-by-play anymore, he's there at the luncheon talking to coaches. How great is that? And just wants to be involved and in it, and it was awesome.
Well, he was there also for Chip Baker Day. I'm sure he's been there for other baseball games as well, just sitting behind home plate kind of towards the first baseline a little bit. But then, you know, it's hard to be Gene Deckerhoff and sitting in the stands anywhere without striking up a bunch of different conversations. But, yeah, he wants to be in the mix still, and that's great. You know, he's still obviously working with the Buccaneers. I don't think he's retired yet from working on Sundays. But you know, you talk about those interactions. I got to have one or two with him. One of them was 2013 Clemson after we were in the parking lot and getting mean mugged by Clemson personnel.
My favorite, yeah.
Man, I got to have a 20-minute talk with Gene. It was probably 2 hours before kickoff, and he's just sitting down at the table. And I'll never, ever forget that day because he was the radio to me. Like, on Saturdays and Sundays, because the Buccaneers games at home never were on television. They were blacked out. We didn't sell out games.
Which was stupid, but yes.
So Saturdays and Sundays, we would replace the TV audio with Gene on Saturdays. There was no TV to watch for Buccaneers football on Sundays when we were at home. So I was listening always, always, always to Gene Deckerhoff. And the fact that he's still doing that, I'm pushing 40. And he was already a veteran at that time. It's just kind of wild.
Attention, Florida. Are you a victim of an auto accident? We introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Legal Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Legal Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with the Heisen Legal Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now, or you can visit HeisenLegalLawFirm.com. That's HeisenLegalLawFirm.com, your advocate in times of need, offices, Tampa.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. By the way, you should try Factor. I do at my house. 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart Protein Plus and Keto. Whatever you do for your food, I will tell you that Factor works on the go lifestyles, that's for sure. More than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled, feel good all day long. I like it. 2-minute meals, fuel you up fast, pre-cooked, right? You heat them up, ready to roll. Got pancakes and smoothies and other stuff too, but it's a no-prep, no-mess meal situation with Factor. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat. That's what I'm talking about. No prepping. I don't have time for prepping. Flexible to your schedule. My kids love it as well. If they're busy and they're on the go, I say, hey, go get you a Factor. Sign up and save right now. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is a dietitian-approved, nutritious one. So here you go. At thefactormeals.com/Cameron50. Factormeals.com/Cameron50. Use code Cameron50 to get 50% off. That's huge. Code Cameron50 at factormeals.com/Cameron50. To get 50% off. Do it. I'm telling you, I love it. You will too.
Hey gang, Tom here. You know from the show that I'm a huge golf nut. I live it. I breathe it. Any spare time I have, I'm on the golf course. That's why I think it's pretty cool that the folks at PXG picked up on that. PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period. I've seen the ads just like you, but I was skeptical for a long time about giving them a try. This week, I drove up to the PXG store in Westchester, New York, and I was blown away. Nobody I've seen makes club fitting more personalized. Truly. Period. The setup was private, it looked and felt VIP, and they put me to work giving the Black Ops driver a test run. That's right, the new driver, the PXG Black Ops driver. Short answer, it plays. I'm not a super long hitter, but in neutral conditions, I can carry it around 240, 245, give or take. Hot weather, maybe a little bit deeper. So I figured I'd be seeing things in the 230s when I went for the test run. And I did. I started out slow, but then the personalized fitter tweaked my weight distribution in the club head, they got the club shaft in line, and they dialed me in. And the Black Ops driver plays. I was launching it in my range, consistently carrying it over 245 yards within 25 swings, and it didn't feel weird at all. It felt actually very comfortable. PXG says more forgiveness, more distance, no sacrifices. I can see it. I was rusty. I really wasn't on my game today, and they bailed me out to the tune of serious yardage. I can't wait to see how long I hit it once I'm in springtime form. Game changer has been thrown around so much, it's lost its meaning. Trust me when I tell you that the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Cameron. That's pxg.com/Cameron. For free shipping on all equipment. PXG.com/Cameron.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
going on? Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. And it's been a busy time. It's going to get even busier. We've got content everywhere you look right now. Tom and I were talking about that earlier. That's true. Do we have, what do we have a Wake Up Tonight, I believe? A Wake Up War Chant Tonight on YouTube?
Tonight is a recruiting chat. Ah. We're nailing down the time. It's supposed to be 6 o'clock. I'm just waiting on confirmation from Michael. Tomorrow night, you have a wake-up war chant live, and that's going to be in the 8 p.m. hour. I believe it's either 8 or 8:30, because, again, practice runs late, and there's a lot of coverage to distribute once Thursday practice is over. So tonight, the plan is recruiting chat. Big weekend this weekend for Florida State. This is where they put all their eggs in the spring basket, at least in March, for this Saturday. So Michael will be breaking that down, and then tomorrow, Wake Up War Chant. Tons of live shows this week.
Well, I think the interesting thing, too, with recruiting is, you know, it's never been my bag, but I've always understood the importance. And there are a few guys I lock in on every year where I'll say, okay, it's important that they get this guy, or he could be a benchmark for this class, or this guy could be a guy that recruits other players. It's just, you know, there's always a few guys that you kind of isolate. But because of the nature of NIL and because transfers are unlimited, it's hard to kind of wrap your mind around guys that are coming in 25 or 26 and on down the line. But I will say this, it gets a little bit easier the further removed we are from the Travis Hunter situation and the, I guess, renewed sense of success at the high school ranks and the amount of visits from elite players that we're seeing from Florida State Garner. So, you know, the fact that you're getting a bunch of five stars and potential five star kids to come here, it just shows that the buzz surrounding Florida State as a program is continuing to grow. And I think we all recognize that. And I'm glad there's somebody like Michael who's got his finger on the pulse of all that and able to talk about where these guys are and their thought process and what Florida State's looking to do. And they got to continue to get better in the high school ranks. So I'm looking for them to continue to grow as they did a year ago. Wasn't perfect a year ago. They lost out again on a couple of the elite guys. Next step is to go ahead and close the door on those players.
I think that's part of the infrastructure that was agreed to when Mike Norvell was extended and given a raise. And we all support the infrastructure that is necessary to make sure that in December we have more smiles, because there are plenty of smiles in March and in August and in October. But how about December? If we can close one of those types of classes that's in the top five sphere, and really it addresses the needs too. Sometimes you can get up that high and you're getting a bunch of skill players, but the trenches aren't fortified. But if we can do that, and they've already got that depth built up to a new place. That's the number one thing that the coaching staff talked about. That's the takeaway that I got from you last night when we were talking live.
It's everywhere.
Everybody's takeaways, man. Top end, we'll see. Superstars, first team this, first team that. Award finalists, we'll see. But there are more capable players on this roster than there were even last year. And that's amazing to say.
Let's circle back to the big news of the day yesterday. I'm scheduled to be on with Andy Staples tomorrow's show for On 3. Let's talk a little bit about what that means. You and I haven't had the chance. We already talked about it on Seminole Headlines, but obviously welcome to the party was the refrain yesterday from all Florida State fans who were happy to see that Clemson University filed a lawsuit against the ACC. They did so in Pickens County, South Carolina. Those were the court filings yesterday. It is a 28-page complaint. It is the first step by Clemson to ultimately leave the conference, which is exactly what Florida State is attempting to do. We already know that Florida State is seen as being entrenched in their battle, their court battle, against the ACC and the grant of rights situation. And now Clemson joins the fight. We understand what a big deal that is. I thought it was also interesting, and I asked a specific question about this, Tom, to a lawyer who we've had on before, Michael Mestre. And I wanted to know this because I wondered if this caught your attention as well. In reading through that, now there's a lot of stuff on there that you're kind of like, all right. But as you go through and read this, the Clemson lawsuit had a contention that a vote to sue FSU by the ACC never happened, that there was no vote. And my thought in reading that was, and I'm not an attorney, so I think this could be easily dismissed. But don't you think, Tom, that if that's true, shouldn't FSU immediately, for lack of a better term, subpoena the ACC presidents and ADs and make them go on the record saying whether or not there was a vote for the lawsuit? Because if they have to tell the truth and there wasn't, wouldn't the state of North Carolina's lawsuit be, wouldn't that get thrown out?
Well, okay. There's been a few developments that strengthen Florida State's position. The obvious one is the Clemson files. But I don't think Clemson would go on a legal, put on a legal document that it wasn't consulted about a vote, that a vote didn't happen, if they're not prepared to defend that under oath in a separate setting. Like, they already are, in a way, saying that, you know, that this is what happened. But I think Clemson by itself is all you really need, because isn't every member institution supposed to be consulted for a step like the ACC countersuing or doing whatever that they did with FSU? Isn't every member institution supposed to be a part of that vote? So as long as you have one, I feel like that meets the requirements of, you don't need to get anybody else to go on record. Like, as long as you have one saying that,
yeah,
then you're improving your position. The other thing I would say that's happened is nobody's refuted that 2025 opt-in by ESPN. Nobody, the ACC hasn't refuted that claim. That was new evidence brought to light.
Yes,
new
it was.
Bleep has come to light, man. Mm-hmm. And they have it. That would be the easiest thing to shoot down if it wasn't true. When you have Clemson and Florida State asking to leave and there's a 2025 pinch point, your leverage only increases of, do you want some money or not? Because ESPN's not about to renew
the ACC network.
If we're not a part of this. But that hasn't been a piece of the discussion, I think, until yesterday, at least in my mind. I wasn't considering that ESPN wouldn't re-up the ACC network. I think, of course, they would if it was just FSU trying to get out. But if FSU and Clemson are both legally now saying that we want out, you know, North Carolina is chicken and they're right behind us.
Yeah.
The ACC doesn't have a product. The ESPN doesn't have a product they want to air. They can use that money elsewhere.
Well,
they can use that money to make other offerings more robust. So I think what this does is puts ESPN in a position where they might say, yeah, guys, Jim, I don't know. You might need to find a new television home because we're not going to give you the network. And at that point, the leverage even increases for Florida State to get a settlement.
Yeah, I do think that there's something to consider as it pertains to North Carolina, and that is North Carolina politics. And NC State has – there are administrators at NC State that have a lot of sway. The state is going to say to North Carolina, what about NC State? This is the way I read it, and there are some articles about this that suggest Carolina's not going to have it as easy, despite being really sought after by all parties involved, as maybe we have it or Clemson has it. As far as what I've just asked about a lawsuit to maybe get it thrown out, the case of North Carolina, is I was told procedurally you would issue a subpoena requesting documents that reflects communication statements, etc., regarding the vote on January 12th and their request and request their deposition. So let's see if that happens next. It's just going to be fascinating. Some of the stuff as it reads suggests that, this could be expedited if some of these accusations are proven. Now, that said, we're just talking about the same thing over and over again, which I said the other day, is that there is an air of inevitability here. This is over. And we all get this, right? This is over. I can't fathom that this conference exists as it currently does in the year 2025.
No, I don't think there's any way. And maybe 25 is the grand exit, and everybody gets a farewell tour, one more trip up to Snuggy Hill or something along those lines. But every legal argument that you can make, everything you could put out there that has some weight to it, I think decreases the value of the eventual settlement, because I think you agree with me. This is still, like, we're not opposed to paying a little bit of money if it can help us get free and clear sooner. We would love to get out for zero, but if you have to pay just a little bit of money by whatever Florida State's definition is, then fine. Let's do that to clarify where we are so that we can accept whoever wants us to be a part of their conference. We can accept those conversations on the record. They can go on phone logs. They can happen in the open air, and then we can make our move. But the other thing that's happened, and you brought this up, before Jim Phillips agreed to the college football playoff deal.
Oh, once you agree to this lopsided deal that's in place, you're admitting that you're a secondary conference, that you are a step below the SEC and the Big Ten.
By financial definition,
yes,
the ACC is not as valuable as the SEC and the Big Ten in yet another way, which is the college football playoff revenue distribution percentage. They accepted a lesser percentage. And so if you're going to make an argument in court that the ACC is a barrier to our maximizing ourselves in terms of value, you have proof. The commissioner just co-signed it. The commissioner agrees with you in the open. And I think that's also another big moment in this potential fight back and forth, where now you've got Clemson, you've got that consideration and some other developments. I think it just got cheaper for Florida State in the last couple of weeks.
What now is what everybody asks, which is to me more a question about the time frame. If you accept that this air of inevitability that I reference is real and that the conference as currently constructed is going to crumble and that its greatest assets are going to flee, the question is when and where? And that's what we'll now wait, because I think, yes, you can get bogged down in the legalese, and it matters, and it'll interest you and me, and we'll read about it, and we'll find a way to parse that and talk to attorneys and present it in some sort of way that provides context. But I do think that it's also important to try to get a timetable for everybody, and then most importantly, everybody wants to know where. Everybody's got an opinion on whether or not it would be best for Florida State to end up in the Big Ten or the SEC. Everybody agrees, no matter which side of the fence you're on regarding the SEC or the Big Ten, that we can't be here. And so that's where this is. I had a good long conversation yesterday with ESPN's Andrea Adelson. It's interesting to listen to folks that work for ESPN talk about this matter. There is a lot of conjecture, just as there is for those of us who don't. And there's a lot of interesting conversations behind the scenes about, look, man, now is a really interesting fight that is happening behind the scenes between Fox and ESPN for the acquisition of assets. This is game on, because they can see that the legal aspect of this has been sped up, and that these teams, these programs that you would that would be desirous of the two networks are about to be, however it happens, free agents. And you don't want to be, if you're ESPN, in a situation where the Big Ten claims a foothold in your backyard with a Clemson, a North Carolina, a Florida State, throw one more in there if you have to, whatever, Virginia, Miami, NC State, whomever. Okay, you don't want that. Because now, even though you've been the big dog, you're looking at a coast-to-coast national conference with a whole lot of assets that outweigh at that point in due time what the SEC has.
Well, and I still believe we can talk about, I know ESPN with the fan base has its relationship. Like there's the coverage side and then there's the boardroom side.
Yeah.
The boardroom side, the corporate side, the Disney, all of that stuff. You know, ESPN doesn't make as much money as it used to. You've seen what they've done to their staff in Bristol, their operation. Yeah. They've shrunk it all down.
Cut.
But they still spend a ton of money on live programming, and they could use an influx of more cash. And this is where I believe, while ESPN has to stand on the side of the ACC in these proceedings, if Florida State, Clemson can help break this thing and help put ESPN in a position where they can say with a straight face, it is not in our financial interest to renew the ACC network deal, the ACC television contract, because we don't want to pay just Boston College and Wake Forest and Duke and Syracuse. And yeah, Louisville's a nice program, but that's not worth the money that we've agreed to pay these institutions. If they can get that money off the books and redistribute it somewhere else to some of their other programming that they're trying to purchase, I think ESPN would be all for it. In a way, I think ESPN is hoping this thing becomes such a lousy product, this conference, that they can walk away scot-free or renegotiate the deal with the ACC to free up some more capital. I think that would be the political thing for ESPN. We don't lose either way here, but I think we win bigger if the ACC can come off our books and we can spend the money elsewhere.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, all most fans care about is where do we go, how soon do we get there, and you know, what's it going to look like from a scheduling standpoint. This will be fun. It'll be a lot of fun to watch to find out where we're going. Whether you're booking flights to Columbus, Ann Arbor, Los Angeles. Goodness gracious. Imagine going to see Florida State take on Southern Cal, go take on Oregon, go take on Washington, go take on Ohio State, go take on Michigan. Or is it what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm seeing the reports out there. It's in the chat. But that the SEC will stick with eight conference games in 2025. Of course they will, because they're going to partner with the Big Ten for a cross-conference rivalry, so both networks win.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this is all. The two are going to work against each other, but they're also going to work together,
well,
too.
Well, this gets back to collusion, yeah, and the fact that they will collude, because they've already shown evidence of it. Yeah, but it wasn't colluding. They made it public that they were working together. So, they may be fighting over assets and who gets what, but they're going to work together eventually, because this is the Super League. This is where it's going to be. And we'll be a part of it. Just a matter of where you're traveling. Chef Cameron, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.